Well, as you can note in your bulletin, our scripture today comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is culminating towards the end of Deuteronomy. Moses has been recounting and remembering the journey, where the people have been and what has brought them to this moment. He tells this. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, or death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God and walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today, you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, last week we started our series, Life on Loan, and we passed out puzzle pieces, and wondering, maybe show of hands here, how many of you still know where your puzzle piece is? Good. If you weren't here last week and you want to get a puzzle piece, I just remind you, I left mine sitting right here this morning. If you want to get a puzzle piece, and I'd encourage you to get one if you weren't here last week to get it, there are some back in baskets out with a coffee and water and stuff after worship. Grab one there. Our encouragement was to say, go ahead and grab a piece and hold on to it for the duration of this series, which is going to go into November, to remind us that each one of us is like a piece in a puzzle in God's larger redemptive story, and each piece matters. It may seem minor and insignificant, but as the next piece comes along and you see piece by piece comes together, you begin to see the larger picture. And every piece matters to bring that picture together. Your story, your life matters. So hold on to that piece. Put it up somewhere significant. Keep it in a place where you'll see it and be reminded day by day that your story matters, and your story is connected to God's larger story. Because we are, friends, living lives on loan. Last week, we had Psalm 24 sort of lead us into worship. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Indeed, we've been gifted with life. God says, here, live. And now what will we do with that life? It's on loan. And God gives us a freedom to choose. What do we want to do with it? How will we use it? Well, our passage this morning in Deuteronomy 30 is right at the center of God's hope for what we will do. Indeed, there he stands before the promised land. He stands with the people of God. And what are they doing? Well, they're getting a history lesson. Moses is recounting for them. This is what Deuteronomy is all about. Moses sort of retelling the story and reminding the people, this is where we've come from. We came out of Egypt. We came out of slavery and oppression, and God heard our voices and our cries, and we were set free. But not set free for anything, but set free to be a people. To be a people living for God. And of course, on that journey, what did they receive? The ten? All right, just if you're with me now. See, I remember last week I mentioned I'm going to have questions every once in a while. And they're rarely rhetorical. So, I'll keep you awake, keep you noticed up here. All right, so Moses gives them the Ten Commandments, and then he unfolds and explains and sort of elaborates on those commandments and how to live by those throughout Deuteronomy. And here he is kind of wrapping it up. This is the close of his sermon, if you will. He says, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. See, one of the great sort of mind-boggling statements is that as God creates us and gives us life, he then gives us the freedom to do what we will with that life, to choose how we use it, even as it is on loan from God. And so we always have a choice to choose for God or against God. And of course, that's really the whole sweep of the biblical narrative, isn't it? That's where the Bible keeps taking us, story by story, into people where God sort of is in the midst of their life and says, here's a way to choose for me. And they say, no, I don't think so. Right? Starts with Adam and Eve, gives them a choice. Hey, this is an amazing garden. All right, what are you going to do with it? Just make sure you don't, mess with that tree. Oh, well, we could do what he said. Or, it's human nature in some ways, right? Faced with choices. We live in a day where there are so many choices. Moses holds up the most important one. He says, choose life. Choose life. Choose to live the way of God. There is blessing or there is curse. There is life or there is death. And it depends on the choices we make. My friend Russ, who is a pastor I worked with in Colorado for the last 15 years, great friend and colleague, he was often fond of this particular phrase. He would say, we make our choices, and then our choices make us. We make our choices, and then our choices make us. It's what Moses understands as he highlights the choice before the people. They've been given the outline. They've been given the operating instructions, the commandments that says, there God said, look, this is the best way to live. Choose this way. And then the puzzle will come together best, and the peace will understand best. And we have that choice. But of course, so often we choose contrary to God's ways, don't we? Eugene Peterson is a Presbyterian minister and was a professor for a while. He did a translation of the Bible at one point. He put it this way. He said, the puzzle is why so many people live so badly. I mean, not so wickedly, although certainly some do, but so inanely. There's little to admire and less to imitate in the people who are prominent in our culture. We have celebrities, this is a great line. We have celebrities, but not saints, right? Famous entertainers who amuse a nation of bored insomniacs. Petulant and spoiled athletes play games vicariously for lazy and apathetic spectators. Ouch. People aimless and bored amuse themselves with trivia and trash. Does that sound familiar at all? About sort of life and culture in the 21st century? Amazingly, Peterson wrote this in about 75, but it was already still the way of American culture in particular. People aimless and bored, choosing so much less than what God had in store for them, and so apathetic, insomniacs, if you will. We've been given life. Each day is a choice. A choice to live into the best, most amazing life we've been designed for, or for something less. The choices we make aren't inherently evil choices. They don't seem like bad choices all the time, but often they're just less than God's intention, less than the best. Jesus came and talked to his disciples at one point. They were trying to understand, what is this person about? Remember what he said in John 10? He said, look, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full, or one translation, have it abundantly. Are you experiencing abundant life or mediocre, bored insomniac kind of life? It's kind of the question for modern America, for you and I. Are you having life to the full? We choose in the midst of millions of choices every day. And so many of those choices seem insignificant, and yet they take us down lesser roads towards lesser gods instead of following after the one true God, God's desires for us. C.S. Lewis, perhaps you've heard of him. He's one of those great English apologists and thinkers. He put it this way. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. So it's sort of like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. We make our choices, and then our choices make us. Our life, friends, is a culmination of choices, little ones and big ones. Last week, I talked about one of those choices that I thought was pretty insignificant in my life. A girl asked me to go to something going on at church, and I said, if you're going to be there, I'll be there. I didn't know how that was going to change the trajectory of my life, and yet it did. We have all these different choices we make, some of which we can understand as significant. When we explored a new call to serve in a new church, I knew that was a pretty significant choice I was making, a choice for me and my family. And of course, for many of us, there are choices that have been made for us in our lives. We don't always get to make all the choices, do we? Some of them happen to us. And they all shape us. We know right now in America, we are growing larger, right? We are a larger people just physically. Yesterday, we were in Libertyville. We went to the Cook House. Has anybody been in the Cook House? It's there right on the main square. It's a lovely historical home. And they had some wedding dresses there from like the late 1800s and such. It was amazing to see was the size of those dresses, right? Like every one of them, and the shoes that they had from some of the women of the day, everything was tiny. I don't know how people fit into these things. I mean, just tiny, a little waist on these dresses. I'm thinking, were they 13 when they got married? What? How is that possible? But we've grown larger and larger, and we know this. We know we're an overweight culture. We've got a lot of eating issues. Of course, it's dietary stuff. It's choices we make, right? I was serving as a youth director at a church in California many years ago. I had a pattern. Sunday morning, I would teach Sunday school with middle schoolers. And to encourage them to bring their own Bibles, as many of them had, I would bring a dozen donuts. And I would say, look, bring your Bible, get a donut. Right? Bribery. It's parenting 101. Right? We do it so often. Right? It was teaching 101. And of course, in a class of maybe 15 kids or something, there would be, you know, four or five or six who would bring their Bibles, who would remember, and they'd get their donut, and everybody else would be like, oh, come on, you know, it's church. Be nice. Just give us your donut. No. Don't bring your Bible, you don't get the donut. Right? And that was fine. Then, of course, what that meant was at class was over, there would sit this box of donuts on my desk. You know where this was going? You can see it, can't you? Yeah. So Sunday morning, there'd be that box, and there'd be five or six donuts. And I have a donut, maybe two donuts. Okay. Monday morning, come into work. The box is still there. I know they're a day old now, but they're donuts. Another donut, two donuts. I was in a habit this was must have been for a year or more, of having 3 to 4 donuts over the course of Sunday, like every week. Can you imagine what happened? I got larger. I was making these little choices, and then those choices were making me. This simple diet, right? We understand this stuff. And so now we, as a nation, are making and trying to work with all the different dietary choices we make. But it's even more true about our souls, about the lives we live. The choices we make impact everything who we are. Our choices, we make our choices, and our choices make us. Do you remember Jesus was choosing disciples? At one point we hear he's walking along the Sea of Galilee, and some of them are out fishing. It's what they did. He said, "Follow me." And they had a choice. Pretty life-altering, significant choice. We're going to keep doing what we're doing, going about the humdrum life of the fishermen on the sea, or will we take a chance on that young rabbi on the seashore? See, what I've always wondered is, how many people did Jesus ask? Ever thought about that? We know of the disciples, the ones who said yes. We don't have much account if Jesus asked others. But I sort of wonder if he did. If, in fact, on his way to the Sea of Galilee, maybe he was there in the midst of another little town on the way and invited some others, maybe a carpenter or two that he'd worked with before. "Follow me." Maybe they said, I'm working here. It's good. This is steady and stable. I know what I'm doing. I wonder how many said yes and how many said no and made that choice. Choice for life, choice for death. Of course, it wasn't immediate death. It's the slow, dwindling death of the soul that takes place more and more as we choose ways that are just less than God, less than abundant life, less than what God has designed us for. I wonder. But the 12 said yes. They chose, said, "We're in." And it changed them. Now, most of you are here on a Sunday morning in church because somewhere along the line, you said yes. You heard God's call. Perhaps it was as a child, as a teen, as an adult, somewhere in your family history. You said yes. But after you say yes, you have more choices to make. What will you do? How do you experience that abundant life that Jesus invites us to? It's more than just saying yes once to some invitation. It's a daily choice. A choice to shape our lives into ways that are forming and transformative into habits and practices. So I want to lift up something today. I want to call it the 4x1. You know, we enjoyed the summer Olympics. We had the different relays, 4x100, 4x400, 800 crazy relays. All right. Here's the 4x1 challenge. I want to invite you to choose intentionally to spend 4 hours of your week, 4 hours, in intentional Christian practice. In worship, in study, in community, and in service. See, when we look back into the New Testament and we see the early Christian community gathering, what we see is this pattern of life that they lived, a life that was centered around worship, a life that was involved where they would eat and enjoy great community and fellowship together, a life where they would study and wrestle with the God's Word. And they would serve and care for one another in their community. And by their commitment, by their choices to do those things, it shaped them. And they became the most transformative movement ever. From a ragtag bunch of disciples, backwater hicks, if you will. And all of a sudden, the movement grew and grew and grew. Why? Because they lived intentionally and they chose life. They chose these four practices of worship, study, community, and service. Now, anybody off the top of your head, you know how many hours you have in a week? Do the math. 168. Good. Mathematicians, well done. All right. You have 168 hours in any given week. 4 hours a week is roughly 2.5% of your week. But I can guarantee you, if you commit 2.5% of your week into these practices, you choose to live into them intentionally, it will change who you are. When Moses said, choose life, he was inviting people into choosing the ways of God. These are the ways of God. People centered around worship and study, Christian community and service, because it's not all about coming in and growing, but it's also about giving out. 4x1 challenge. I wonder. I know many of you, you've already committed often the 1 hour of worship. You're here. Awesome. All right, you got 3 other hours to think through. Now, is this all going to happen every week? Maybe not. Maybe you're going to be a PADS volunteer, and that's once a month, right? No, once a week, Tuesday nights. Oh my gosh, and you sign up for a shift. How long's a shift? 4 hours. Woo! Man, you do that once a month, you've done it. Now, could you do more? Sure, do it every week. And whoever organizes PADS right now is saying, yes, yes, every week, every week. Sign up. We need more volunteers. We do. Yeah, Chris, he's with me. All right. Yeah. This is one of those ways we serve. Of course, you don't have to serve. It doesn't all have to be about serving here at the church. There's great things going on here at the church. Absolutely want people to serve. But to think about, where else could you serve? Where else could you give an hour a week? Maybe it's where you work. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. Maybe it's at the school near you. See what happens when we commit to that kind of life, we choose that way of being, it changes us. I have never met somebody who goes on a mission trip who comes back and says, that was the worst use of my time ever. Right? Chuck, was it bad? No. No. It was a good experience. Because when we serve, God's at work. It's choosing life. When we worship, we get grounded and reminded of our story, connected to God's story. When we gather and study devotion, whether it's individually or as a group, we're enriched and we learn and we're challenged to not just stay the way we are, but to grow more and more in Christ's likeness. This is the way of life. And you have a choice. Every day you have this choice. Will you live and choose life the way God has designed it to be lived best? Or will it be something less? I didn't know this, but it turns out the average American serves beyond themselves for some other cause roughly 5 hours a year. 5 hours a year. Is it any wonder our world, our culture seems so self-centered and self-focused? Not really, when you think most of America doesn't really work beyond itself, doesn't really serve anyone else. Of course we're going to become insulated and insular and self-centered in that kind of life. 4x1 challenge. 1 hour of worship, 1 hour of study, 1 hour of community fellowship, 1 hour of service. Maybe it'll be evenly week by week like that. Maybe it'll come in chunks. But I promise you, if you commit to that kind of life, that is indeed choosing life, friends. Moses set it before us. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. Oh, gracious God, we are grateful indeed that you have given us life and then the freedom to choose how we live it. And yet, you have also instructed us on how best to live it. by the ways of the commandments. Show us your way and your will. You have instructed us, O God, how to live abundant life. And so too often, Lord, we have chosen less. And so, God, my prayer today is that you would help us to take up the 4x1 challenge. You would help us indeed to center our lives in these intentional practices, and to choose them week in and week out, and to see how they shape us into your will and your way. Lord, may your Spirit empower us to live that way, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.